From the high desert and the great American Southwest, where all the dire predictions of bad wind stuff didn't happen, by 3 o'clock this afternoon, I called the National Weather Service in Las Vegas, and they said, Art, I think we can relax, even though it looked bad. The whole thing is slipping to the east a little bit, and we got a few 40-mile-an-hour gusts here in the desert, but nothing like Monday, thank God. And got away with it, so that was apparent by about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Whew. Monday was unbelievable. The damage in this valley is absolutely incredible. Listen, we're welcoming yet another new affiliate to this, to the House of Madness. It's WWNC in Asheville, North Carolina. They're 570 on the dial. Good spot to be, 5,000 watts. Definitely would go screaming on out into the night very well indeed. The GM there is Diane Ogram. The PD, Jim Edwards. Thank you very much. The duo there of Diane and Jim, thank you. You have no idea what a weird, very strange, weird world you have just stepped into. For example, coming up in a moment is Dr. Greer in the first hour, and I'll tell you all about him. And then in the second hour, Red Elk. Listen, sorry, I know nobody can get onto Richard C. Hoagland's website. We put another notch in our website. We've apparently killed Richard's site. It'll be back by tomorrow, but so many people trying to access the new images that it just went. So another notch goes in, probably back up by tomorrow. Just be patient. All right, a couple of things to take care of, and then on to the amazing Dr. Greer. Dr. Greer is the founder of Space Access Systems, Inc., its corporation dedicated to identifying, testing, licensing, and commercializing over Unity Energy devices for mass dissemination. That is a very, very, very serious goal when you think about it. Dr. Greer has been working on this for some time. Most pitfalls are political, he says, not technological, but that's a really good question for us to ask tonight. He's best known, of course, for disclosure. He has led the parade, and somebody always has to, on UFO, alien technology sort of disclosure, you know, finally getting it out into the front of the public. That's a really, really big job. And we just barely got him on the phone, but here he is, Dr. Greer. Hi, Dr. Greer. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Okay, sir. Where would you like to start? I mean, this audience is equally fascinated by both subjects, I think. You know.
Well, let's do an update on something that we just learned about in the last 48 hours. And this is actually very historic information, and that is that the largest webcast on the Internet in the history since it was created was the Disclosure Project webcast at disclosureproject.org.
Are you serious?
Yes. 400,000 people attempted to get online to see those events happen, and we found out.
You just got those stats?
We just now got them out of the system. And here's another interesting stat that we just got, because it's something that has just been given to us by our carrier, and that is that over 1 million people have downloaded and streamed the video of the National Press Club event that took place on May 9th. And that is also a world record. The other interesting thing is that it's been the largest requested for bandwidth issue that has ever been requested through this largest of all servers that provide this kind of service to the world. What we're finding, in other words, is that even if some of the mainstream media has tried to shut this down, what that's done is shunted it through this alternate media thing that's been created in the sort of new media age, and that's the Internet. So it's interesting because DisclosureProject.org, which is our website, is pushing in the 10 million range for hits. But what is more important are the number of people who've taken the time to try to see this incredible testimony from these heroic military people who came forward about 11 months ago.
What do you think, Doctor, what do you think that those kind of numbers can mean? You know, disclosure is your thing, and so you understand very well what the kind of numbers you're talking about mean.
Well, what it means is something we've been saying all along, and I said this to President Clinton's inner circle when we were briefing him on this, and I've said it to many members of Congress in the last few months, and that is that the numbers of people who are interested in this matter and who want this subject disclosed properly and honestly exceeds the number of people who have voted for any of our U.S. presidents in the last several elections. In other words, well over 50% of people know about this subject and think something is being hidden from them and would like to see that secrecy ended. And I think that, you know, you don't have those sort of numbers in any of the elections of either the past two elections for Clinton or Bush. And so there's a huge interest in this, but also a huge level of concern around the secrecy. And I think that what has surprised me the most...
Doctor, does that mean the next president has to make it... part of a platform, or it'll be an issue in the next presidential race?
I think it will be, and I think it will be because of some things that are happening. For example, since 9/11, a lot of people are understanding that there's an extremely high price for inexpensive Mideast oil that we're some 57% dependent on for imported oil, and that President Bush and others have said that it's a national security issue that we become independent of the need for this sort of large amount of imported foreign energy. Well, I think people are understanding that you can use the word UFO, or you can supplant that term with something called an exotic energy and propulsion device, many of which look like UFOs but are being manufactured in illegal clandestine projects and have been for several decades. And I think as people begin to come forward with the information, with the technology, with their observations, who have seen these things and seen these projects going forward, people are beginning to say, my God, what in the world are we doing trying to continue to burn up the biosphere and develop this entire geopolitical mess that we're in centered around oil? And most people realize, of course, you're not going to solve the energy problem by punching a few more holes in the ground. So I think that this is something which, contrary to what I initially thought after 9/11, that those events would completely make this issue seem sort of irrelevant, it's become more relevant, and people have become more interested and more concerned. So I think that what this means is it is an issue that's going to have continuing legs.
If we've got enough people to force it as an issue, how would you go about forcing it as an issue? For example, in the next presidential race, I mean, what would you logistically do to attempt to do that?
Well, I think we're going to do some things that we're continuing to ramp up. For example, at the website, there's a link from disclosureproject.org. It's in the website where people can fax the president and members of Congress, so they don't have to go through snail mail or email, both of which aren't very effective, and they can fax right into the office of the president and right into their senator or congressman's office a letter that says we want hearings and we want this issue dealt with. That's one way of growing this sort of mass movement. But the other is to bring forward greater and greater levels of testimony. One of the things that we've just released is that we put together a four-hour summary of these military witnesses' testimony that people can get now. They can get it on our website or at 888-DR-GREER, which is a toll-free number they can call. And this four-hour tape is, again, only about a 30th of the testimony we have on digital videotape. What we're going to start doing is putting all of that testimony, we have boiled down to about 35 hours of militaries and various generals and colonels and air traffic controllers and people like this, and it's going to start going up on our website for people who know how to see video streaming on their computers so that literally thousands and millions of people can see the complete testimony of these people instead of just a smaller sort of snapshot of their testimony.
How about getting into a situation where somehow there's enough interest generated that some major reporter, you know, at a White House news conference, should he ever want to have one again, will ask, stand up and ask a question about the field, giving him an opportunity to say at least something.
Well, I think this is something that is going to happen when it becomes such a pressure that neither the media nor the political establishment can ignore it. And this is really up to the people listening to your show tonight is to decide to do something about that. The other thing that I think will make a large difference is to come forward with greater and greater levels of testimony, and this is why we've started the second phase of recording these witnesses' testimony. There's another 119 additional military and intelligence and corporate witnesses whom we have identified since last year. So we're going to try to put that testimony together. And there's a subsection of that that involves people who've worked on these energy and propulsion devices. And I think that as that information comes forward, the public are going to realize that this is not just about, you know, little gray or green or whatever colored men out in space, but it's also about how we're going to build the next level of human civilization, how we're going to create a civilization that can be sustainable, that can eliminate poverty as we know it.
Yes, but you haven't changed your mind about where this technology has come from, right? It has essentially come from, not joking, the little green men.
Well, I honestly think that there are technologies in these black projects that are a result of both human breakthroughs and the study of extraterrestrial vehicles, yeah, so that there is a combination. I think that there's a big misunderstanding, and that is that if people look at what Colonel Corso said very carefully, he said that the technologies that were seeded by some of the extraterrestrial materials were ideas that were already ongoing, and then some of these materials would then augment or move it down the path a little further. So I think it's not as simple as saying, well, you know, we found an extraterrestrial vehicle and came out with the integrated circuit or came out with lasers. Mm. That, in fact, that there is a sort of a, if I can use the word hybrid, a hybridization of ideas and concepts where humans have had breakthroughs that have then been potentiated and increased in their efficiency by studying these extraterrestrial breakthroughs that are the result of retrieving a number of these crafts. So
you know,
I think you have both things going on.
You don't think any of this information was generously given or given for any specific reason by alien intelligence, but rather the result of either a captured craft or back-engineered technology, right?
Well, we do have a couple of witnesses that indicate, in fact, that there have been or has been at points in time cooperation and where things have been handed off. I think that was very early, back in the late 40s or 50s, and unfortunately, I don't think that we were totally honest in our dealings with that situation. My understanding is that we did not hold up our end of the bargain, in a sense.
Tell you something I've heard, Doctor, and you can knock this down maybe if you want to, but there's a lot of reports suddenly of UFO activity in South America and in Australia.
Right.
And it's been said on this program very recently that perhaps they are, in effect, giving up on us, that we send up jets, we seem not to be particularly interested in them except to have them gone, and that they're taking the hint and taking their act elsewhere.
Well, I don't know that that's happening. I do think that there's some very unfortunate things that, for example, John Wigan, who's one of the witnesses who has come forward, who is a Marine officer in the near the Peruvian-Bolivian border, was at the site of one of these extraterrestrial vehicles that we had obviously shot at and hit with some type of weapon system from a facility where he was stationed. And I think that we have increasingly taken actions that are very dangerous to the national security of the United States and to world security. Now, I think a lot of the objects that are being seen, to add more confusion to this whole mix, are actually made by human beings. There's a facility in for example, Australia, where many people have been seeing these objects flying, large,
right,
both triangular and disc shaped, that are actually made by Homo sapiens, humans.
That's right. That's...
And I have people who have been in those facilities that we have interviewed recently and who have corroborated that information. So it's not unlike the facilities near Palmdale and Lancaster in the high desert of California, where people late at night at 3 and 4 in the morning have seen these objects launched out of the area near the north base of Edwards, for example, and have seen this for a number of years. And I think so many of these things that are being seen are, in fact, anti-gravity and very advanced energy and propulsion devices. Again, that's sort of a synonym for UFO.
All right, take a deep breath for a second. The administration right now,
yeah,
according to Richard Seoglund and others, appears interested, and I think there's a lot of stories, in not at all in pursuing this kind of technology, but instead, Doctor, traveling down the let's use chemicals to get nuclear engines for spacecraft into space. That's the road they're going down.
Yes, it's interesting because I just had a meeting with the AIAA people, the Association of International Aerospace Engineers, and my science advisor, Dr. Loader, and I and others are working with some people in that group. And they're interested in the fact that this is the sort of perspective that keeps getting pushed, but I think that's sort of a decoy. That's sort of to distract people from the main action that's going on with disclosure, quite frankly. And I have to point out the next level of disclosure is to put on the table, literally, an energy system and also an anti-gravity system. You know, we're working with people like Mark McCandlish. We're working with one of Townsend Brown's proteges. We're working with a whole group of people. And in fact, just this weekend, we are gathering for the first time this brain trust of physicists and fabricators and engineers to build a small version of one of these alien reproduction vehicles or anti-gravity vehicles. And
which you expect to be able to do what?
To actually build a small mock-up version of one of these things that people see flying around. It looks like a UFO, basically a disc-shaped anti-gravity vehicle.
Okay, a mock-up version, not one.
And also an energy system. Basically, the core of these things is the best we can tell, a very high output, a zero-point-based energy generator. And that system is something we're beginning to put a team together to fabricate. They should be working on that within the next three or four days.
And you think you have a theory with regard to the operation of that will allow you to make that device?
Well, we have people who are on this team who have actually worked on the plans for these objects and have seen them within classified projects. We have people also who have built at Lawrence Berkeley Labs and in other facilities these over-unity energy generators and have been only to be, in the early days of their experimentation, attacked by rogue sort of SWAT teams and other elements that have tried to shut them down.
Well, I suppose that's one way to go after it. In other words, if you cannot conclusively prove with the possession of a UFO that these exist, then you might take this tact and build your own, and that's essentially what you're doing, right? You're building your own UFO.
Well, a sort of small version of one, but more importantly, we're going to first build the energy plant, the energy generation system, so that we can show the world that, in fact, we don't need to be burning fossil fuels for the next hundreds of years, destroying the biosphere.
Well,
that there's an alternate to that.
I guarantee you, Doctor, that a small, even a scale version of UFO that did what we've seen UFOs do, or even some portion of it, would go a long way toward doing that.
Well, that's right, and I've had members of Congress and more than one senator ask that we put that kind of technology together and demonstrate it for select members of Congress. So that's what we're planning to do, and we have a group of this Space Energy Access System. So we have a website, seaspower.com, which is, I think, a nice double entendre, but seaspower.com. And this group has
the name alone is going to get you on the FBI list right away.
Well, that's okay. That's old news, Art.
Seed power.
So basically, this is the next step. Is that we're going to move from testimony and evidence and cases from people who've been inside the Strategic Air Command or within the CIA or within the DIA into this level where we can. Hopefully, and of course, this is a big experiment and undertaking, demonstrate to the world both the energy system that generates energy for these objects, as well as, if we can, one of these electrogravitic or anti-gravity type devices. So that's what we're working on, and that work is beginning actually this week.
All right, hold tight. We're at the bottom of the hour. Oh, that's pretty cool. So he's going to build his own UFO. Think about that. How better to prove that they're real than to build one? Say, here you go, look.
I know you can see me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play.
Reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Actually, I can't think of anything in the entire world that would be more convincing than building a UFO, even a scale model UFO that flew. I mean, does it get better than that for the media? The answer is absolutely no. If he can do that, then maybe disclosure's just about here. Yeah, I'd say that's off into the category of a headline of kinds. No doubt about it. He's going to build his own UFO. I guess actually, dramatically, you could not possibly demonstrate it in a more graphic way. That would do the trick for me. Dr. Greer, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's serious news. What do you think the odds are you're going to be able to do it?
Well, I think that the idea is that the first phase of it is to build the energy plant that would prove this concept of so-called over-unity or zero-point energy generation. And I think the next phase is to move it into the rotational system and vortex technology that enables this electrogravitic effect. I think that latter part, where you actually have something that can fly under anti-gravity in controlled conditions, will take us quite a bit longer, but we're hoping to be able to have a prototype of this within certainly a year, and maybe much sooner. We're getting some really interesting help from some quarters that normally you would not think would want to stick their neck out on this, and I'm talking really mainstream and helpful aerospace people who do contracting for NASA, people who do contracting for various areas who have knowledge of this. And you see things in Jane's Defense Weekly about the 1950s era anti-gravity projects, and you see the Nick Cook's book that's talking about the race to zero point, talking about the same thing. And there are more and more people in the mainstream aerospace area wanting to come forward. And one of the things I will say to people listening, if they think that they have information or can contribute to this effort, they should contact us at either disclosureproject.org or seizepower.com. And let us know, because we're putting this brain trust together, and it's growing very rapidly, and it's picked up a tremendous amount of momentum.
Well, I'm sure there are people like that out there. A lot of them are inventors. A lot of them know things. Are these the people that you want?
Yes, so long as they can demonstrate their bona fides. And the people that are on this initial creative team are people who have an excellent track record in working in these areas and can prove that to us. For that reason, we're supporting them in this effort, in this research and fabrication effort.
Doctor, there are a lot of characters out there.
Oh, yes.
Who have perhaps not the right bona fides, but every possibility in the world, if you had the patience to sift through them, of eventually finding the one who had the gem.
Well, that's what we've been doing now for, of course, quite a few months. And we have there's a lot of nonsense, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. And even in the conventional area, I want to point out some people who've surfaced who have developed, for example, a very advanced fuel injection systems that would enable an automobile to get anywhere upwards of 100 to 130 miles per gallon. And this sounds implausible, except that the people have built and tested these things, only to later run into the, what I not so fondly call Murder Incorporated, this sort of illegal cabal of folks who have taken extraordinary steps to keep these things silent. And I think one of the things that people have to understand is that there's this sort of unacknowledged terrorism that's been going on in society for decades, where very good and honest inventors and scientists and even military people who stumble across these things have been tortured, have been abducted, have been drugged, and have been mistreated. And I think this is another whole part of what disclosure has to get to, and that is that there have been this sort of illegal and unconstitutional abuse of people who could have helped our society avoid many of the tragic events that have occurred in the last 6 or 8 months. So I think that this is something that has to come to light, and I think that if you look at even the accounts of Colonel Charles Brown, who was the AFOSI officer who had been in Project Grudge, who came across a technique for altering the air intake system of a vehicle so that you would get about 20 to 25, maybe 30% more fuel efficiency. He had bomb threats. He had his stuff sabotaged. He had his prototype stolen. And this is a very decorated man who had, back in the 50s, had been involved in the UFO projects, and then after his retirement got involved in some of these energy projects. And his testimony, by the way, is available for anyone to read and who wants to read it all on our website. So I think that what you find is that you have really wonderful people who have been courageous in trying to come forward, but they've all been doing it in a divided way. What we're doing with the energy issue is what we've also done with the disclosure issue, and that is, let's not let these people go out by themselves and have their necks chopped off. Let's put them together in a coalition, and let's support them, and let's protect them.
Yeah, I'm wondering how literally you mean this, Dr. Art. When you say kind of like Murder Incorporated and then laugh.
I mean it literally.
Yeah.
For example, one of the things people are going to start seeing in the disclosure effort is that we're going to get testimony from folks who have been abducted and tortured. I don't mean by extraterrestrial, I mean by rogue, illegal operations operated in this country and others. And there are people who have been murdered. And I think that...
Have you been watching the list of scientists into biotechnology that have been really disappearing and dying under not good circumstances?
I have seen that. And you know, I don't know quite to make of that because I'm not involved in that particular area, but I do know that in the last 3 months, I have personally met with more than half a dozen bona fide physicists and scientists, not in black projects, but in the public civilian domain,
yes,
who have run into this kind of harassment and who have had colleagues that have literally at times been murdered in an attempt to keep these things silent. And I think that the people listening to your show should be outraged at this and should be prepared to support our effort to get this material out to the public by marching with their feet and marching with their pens and making a very clear message to our leaders, but also to the media, that we want this issue covered and we want these people protected.
What group is it, Doctor, that's doing the torturing, the kidnapping, and the killing? What group is this?
Well, normally these are contract agents and contract operatives who are working on behalf of this, for lack of a better word, transnational cabal or secret government that exists within the government and within the international scene, that really do not answer to the Constitution or to the President or to the Congress. And I think this is exactly what Senator Inouye was referring to when he said that there was this shadowy government within the government that had its own Air Force, its own Navy, its own funding mechanism. And this is a U.S. senator saying this during the Iran-Contra trial.
What is the mechanism that allowed for the birth of this cabal?
Well, I think it's been around for quite a long time. It certainly has been around since the World War II era. But in the aftermath of World War II, what we have found through interviewing people who were on the scene back in the 50s and even in the late 40s, is that the compartmentalization and funding mechanisms were put in place, mm-hmm, for these entities to escape supervision. And when they escape supervision, There were abuses of power and abuses that began, and they continued up to this present hour. And I think this is exactly what Eisenhower was warning the public of when he said to be very careful of the excesses of the military-industrial complex. And it wasn't because he was anti-military, nor am I, but that I think he had seen firsthand, according to Brigadier General Steve Lufkin, who was in the Eisenhower White House as a young man at the time. He said that Eisenhower was immensely frustrated by the fact that he was being left out of the loop on critical technology and other issues related to UFOs, specifically to UFOs. And Brigadier General Lufkin's testimony, again, sort of underscores this whole concept that, once he had learned of these things, and by the way, while he was in the Pentagon, he had seen some of the material from apparently the Roswell or the New Mexico crash of an extraterrestrial vehicle, he had people come to him and said, you know, people who step out of line discussing this have been known to be, quote, erased. And General Lufkin talks about this erasure process where people would simply disappear. And this is way back in the late 50s when he was being told this. So, you know, that whole mechanism probably pre-exists my birth in the mid-50s. But certainly I think it mostly got out of control between 1945 and 1955. By the mid-50s, I think this thing was well out of control.
And how do you imagine that these people think of you?
Well, of course, quite a large number of them support what we're doing. This is why I'm still here, able to talk to you about this issue. And I think that people listening should understand that folks who have been involved or are involved currently in those projects, that this is not a monolith, that there are a number of factions or a number of interest areas that support disclosure, that support bringing these technologies out. My understanding is that when I briefed CIA Director Woolsey back in 93, I was told by two insiders inside this so-called MJ-12 group, although I don't think that's what it's called today, but within what's called Magi Control and Royal Ops and Cosmic Ops, that basically about a third of them supported what we wanted. I understand at this point it's probably up around 45%, so the numbers are growing, and I think that, unfortunately, you know, we can't let time slip away. I don't know that we have time to have that become 50 or 60% because we have pressures being brought to bear in the geopolitical arena.
So time is on their side, not yours.
No, in the long run, time is on our side. Time is on the side of truth always, and time is on the side of disclosure, and time is always going to be on the side of the good in the long haul. Now, in the short run, we are running up against a big squeeze here because neither the environmental situation nor the geopolitical and terrorism situation can withstand too many more years of this whole thing being obfuscated and hidden and obscured. So we are going to have to move that timeline up. I had one of the insiders within that group call me right after the May 9th event at the National Press Club and say, you know, you're moving our timeline up by about 6 years. And I said, good. This is what our intention is to move that timeline up by at least that amount of time. And this person went on to basically encourage our doing so. When I've met with a number of people in Europe who are connected into these classified projects.
May I ask a question? Doctor, what happens if you lose the race?
Well, it's not me losing the race. It's all of us together.
Yeah, I understand. Take the question in that spirit.
Right. Well, I think that you're going to see more of what you're seeing. You're going to see increasing geopolitical instability. You're going to see increasing biosphere collapse. You're going to see increasing destruction of both polar ice caps. You're going to see increasing disparity between the wealthy and the poor nations that will lend to more terrorism, more war, more instability, and more pain and suffering. So basically, the universe, if you will, nature, whatever you want to call it, is saying we need to move on to the next chapter in human evolution. And that leap has been artificially held up for about 50 years. And so there's a price to pay when you don't go with the flow of the will of the universe or the natural order. And I think that what we're seeing in terms of all this suffering and all these things that are happening is the consequence of trying to buck that trend line. And the trend line is towards another level of evolution, which these technologies will enable humanity to reach. And as we further delay that process, the suffering will get worse and worse and worse until we finally snap out of it and say, okay, we're going to do it. So we matter. What we're saying to people is, that, well, hey, let's go ahead and do it. It's inevitable that these changes are going to happen, and it's inevitable that humanity is going to go forward with these types of technologies and information. So the longer we put that off, the more the suffering is going to deepen. So let's mitigate suffering. Let's relieve that suffering. Let's be wise and do the right thing.
The people that you have described that would go to these lengths that you have described, if they thought you were actually getting very close to producing what would amount to a flying saucer, an alien craft, something powered by an over-unity device, something that could demonstrate even perhaps anti-gravity, do you honestly think they would, if they're everything you say they are, they would let you get there?
Well, a number of them only are letting us, they're helping us, and I would say that we're going to see, aren't we? I mean, you know, a lot of people said if we did what happened at May 9th, that had that level of media penetration, and that eventually was covered by Pravda and the Chinese news agency and all these other things all over the world, much more heavily than in the United States, I might add. CNN World, for example, had a very extensive piece on it overseas, but they sanitized it in the domestic market. But still, you know, we're estimating somewhere between 1 and 2 billion people heard about all these military people coming forward talking about this. And do you know, to this day, not a single one of them have been threatened. None of them have been told to be quiet. I have not been told to be quiet. So I think that the tide has turned in our favor, and I think we just have to go forward and do that. And by the way, it's the grassroots that's been supporting this, and they are our greatest support and protection. And we've been getting out there to encourage people to move forward with us. On that note, I should mention I'm going to be not in your neck of the woods, but on the West Coast next week. I'm going to be in Portland on the 24th of April giving a lecture and presenting this information, and then on the 25th in Eugene, Oregon, and then on the 26th in Ashland, Oregon, and at Mount Shasta, California, on the 27th, and then at San Francisco at the New Age Expo on the 28th. So anyone who wants to meet with us can join me at those places next
week. All right,
week.
So I assume they hear, if they go to these lectures, the kind of thing that they're getting tonight only in long form in detail.
That's right. Well, first of all, they get to see, you know, one or two hours of the witness testimony uninterrupted, and then they will hear a presentation by yours truly. And the details of that are on our website at disclosureproject.org. But when we go to these cities, what we're finding is that huge numbers of people who are in the mainstream academic and scientific world are emerging saying, yeah, this is true, and I'm glad someone's talking about it. And what can I do to help? And so it is this just sort of huge global networking that's going on. It's really very exciting.
Well, it is exciting. And it's exciting that the kind of numbers that you talked about at the beginning of the hour are beginning to surface, because that actually might get it done if you can get those kinds of numbers out.
Well, I can tell you the people who have been involved with this with us, just from a technical point of view, have said that if you took the biggest webcast event in the history of the world, the Disclosure Project trumped it by an order of magnitude, literally by an order of magnitude, that the numbers of people who, and so, you know, the people out there know that this is true. You know, I'm meeting with aerospace engineers and professors of space sciences at universities, and they're pulling me and my science advisors and others aside saying, you know, we know this is going on, and we think it's gone on long enough, and by golly, you know, we hope you can succeed, and what can we do to help? And so Space Energy Access Systems, the energy company we founded, are getting these people on our advisory board, and people that you would have thought would never want to wade into this are now jumping on board. So I think that it's certainly picking up momentum. We're not there yet, but I think we're going to get there.
Well, if you do get there, do me a favor.
Yep.
Before you go to the networks, take just the night before, and I mean the night before, and come on here.
Oh, you'll hear about it. In fact, one of the things I'll say to you is that As we make progress with this creative team building these things, even before we can go massively public, which of course would shut down all the bandwidth on the planet in terms of people trying to see it, I'll come on your show and we'll talk about it in greater and greater detail if you want to hear about it.
I absolutely want to hear about it, yes.
So there's some really interesting technologies that are already being presented to us as we can get them refined and tested, and maybe we'll end up in your neck of the woods and show it to you once we get all our ducks in a row.
How many strong contenders do you have right now?
About a dozen.
A dozen?
Yeah. People who actually have or have previously built either energy devices that are very serious and over Unity, or have built components or actually worked with the anti-gravity technology. So we have a very strong coalition moving forward on this.
Now, getting into the actual testing and or construction of those really would be truly exciting work, and I would think a lot of very mainstream scientists, if they signed on to it intellectually, would jump in with both feet, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, and in fact, we're not going to present a specific technology to the public until at least three or four independent, well-credentialed, and well-recognized laboratories and entities have tested them and have found reproducible results. So that's what we're shooting for.
All right, good. Sounds like a lot of fun to me. Dr. Greer, out front, as usual. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Take care, my friend. Dr. Greer, Stephen Greer.
Get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park. Meantime.
Well, maybe it's coming, folks. Maybe.
Sound of the river, you're stopping your whole everything.
A disc that would fly, that would be really good.
A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time.
Let me rephrase that. Defy gravity.
Feel all right when you hear the music ring.
We are going to be right back. Red Ults on the way.
And I step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz.
Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
That's exactly what it is. And it's time for an encore performance. Red Elk is an intertribal Native American medicine man. He's coming up next. He's a self-described half-breed Native American from both the Blackfeet and the Shoshone Nations, as well as part Irish and French, member of the Hioka, I believe it is, contrarian group of Native American Lost Boys, which he is one of the 12 inner of that group, one of the last nine members of the Red Web Society, who are working to bring understanding to Earth. He is official keeper of the tunnels, official keeper of the pyramids, temporary caretaker of the flying red dragon drum, a very sacred drum on the Hopi Nation, and the altar carrier of the nations. Red Elk is called by both whites and full breeds as a bridge between the native people and all other religions, including the atheists. Well, it's been a very long time since we've had Red Elk on. His last appearance involved, without question, the best explanation we've ever had of what shadow people are and are not. You may recall we had all sorts of people sending in photographs during the course of the program when Red Elk was on, and Red Elk is back tonight. That was an amazing program. Red Elk, it's good to have you back again. Where are you physically located?
Between Ellensburg and Cle Elum in eastern Washington, literally right alongside I-90.
That's up in Mel's Hole country.
It is, yes, and we've just recently been there again.
Again.
Well,
I heard that there was a trek that took place by some people up in that area, sort of looking for Mel's Hole, but that they didn't find it, and they've decided they're going to go back again with a more serious attempt. Is that correct?
That is correct. They did find his property, but they did not...
Wait a minute. They found Mel's property?
Oh, you bet. Yes. Yeah, the trailer, everything, and there's a fence with strong warnings on it to keep out.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And I told him that's it. I go no more. I go no closer. I've seen it. I've been there once, and they're crazy.
Oh, really?
And, oh, yeah, yeah. It, your Area 51-type rigs, you know, those white rigs that pop up and watch you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Ah, right. They came.
Oh, government?
Well, call them government if you want. They're unmarked. And two of them, one blue, one white. And the guy in blue, thank you, government, I say that to them.
Why? What?
Well, if it wasn't for them, it would have taken hours more to find his property. They parked right in front of the gate to make sure nobody went there. The gate that we've been going to, the place where I, you know, after many years
yes.
of not being there, it seemed familiar. Well, it turns out that the yellow gate that I told you of, that's the back road into Mr. Waters' property. And they came by and got everybody's license numbers, and he's sitting there with one of those palm things, I guess, you know, kind of a palm computer. And
yes.
Well, anyway, they noticed where he was parked across from, about a mile or a little more beyond where we've been looking. And... they get pictures of it. If anyone's interested, it would be on the SeattleChatClub.org.
Uh-huh.
And really, well, anyway, again, thank you, Mr. Government.
So you would say you've seen enough that you believe Mel's story is true?
Oh, you know. The only problem with Mel's story that I've seen enough to know that that's true. According to every description this gentleman has given out, old trailer, the whole bit, there seems to be a brand new large building on that area with a great big barn.
Really?
A few horses with a fence, and, you know, fences that corral around the horses.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with corrals, Mr. Bell?
Yes, very familiar.
This corral is 3 feet high.
3 feet high?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, what are we corralling in there?
It's a good picture from the air, Mr. Bell.
Red Elk, if this hole is there, and by the way, Mel has since described a second hole.
Yes, I guess you
know that, right?
Yes.
The stories that have gone, for example, with the second hole, which is allegedly here in Nevada, are really, really incredible. I trust you've heard them.
Not the keeper of the tunnels for nothing.
Yeah, that's right. You're the keeper of the tunnels. How did the second story hit you, and do you think there might well be a second hole here in my state?
Sir, Every time you find one, you find a pair. They're all over the world. Kind of, we call them the nostrils of our mother.
The nostrils of our mother.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Discharges excessive, harmful, if you want, or like what would be viruses. You know, I'm not saying they are. It's just like you get a runny nose. One side runs, the other breathes. So one side runs and the other breathes. Where you find one hole, you will always find another in a 25-mile radius. Again, they are not just here and not just down there in Nevada. They're literally all over the earth.
And I guess we might as well go ahead and get the rest of it. You think these holes connect to an inner earth, correct?
Absolutely.
An inner earth with inner worlds within that earth.
Yes, but may I clarify that?
Absolutely.
Thank you. People have got the impression it's a ball floating inside a ball, floating inside a ball, you know, on and on for five below us.
Yes.
The earth is dead solid all the way to its core with giant caves that decrease in size as it gets further and further towards its core. So if deep whalers or diggers or whatever, you know.
Drillers, yeah.
Well, whatever they're going for.
Yeah.
If they happen to be digging above one of these caves, these are enormous caves, and especially the ones directly below us, they sometimes range 600 and 800 miles long, 200 and 300 miles wide,
and
in some places, almost 3 miles high.
All right. Here's something I had happened on my program that I would like to ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
I had a man call that said, in essence, that all holes in excess of 10,000 feet are classified. And he said that were he to give me any more information on the air, it would compromise U.S. security. So I said, fine, send me an email. He never did. Still, it sticks in my mind that he said that, and I wonder if you think there might be anything to that.
From my information, it goes quite a bit above 10,000 feet.
But at some point, Red Elk, is there a government clampdown classification that occurs?
Yes.
Why?
No. No, I'll say no more, but yes. Well, I will say a little bit more. I talked about lizard people and stuff, and people really think I'm out of my tree.
I know.
Well, that's all right. It's my tree.
It's your tree. You got that
tree.
Right.
Yeah. And we do have interaction with these beings as well as a number of other beings. And these beings, the vast majority of them, are literally not of this planet. And the lizard beings, the Dracolians, they themselves have colonized this planet eons ago. Literally, not more than a blink as far as time goes from when Lucifer came. So they are colonized now from three of their own planets. And to them, this is home. It's just like you white people, America's your home. You colonized it. And to the Indians, it's our home.
We took it from you, right? Isn't that the
way
it went? Well,
sort of, kind of, yeah.
Sort of, kind of?
Sort of, kind of.
At least sort of, kind of. So, I guess most people, they want to know about what's below us. They want to know about these creatures that are not really human, that we can't call human. The origins of these creatures, I mean, have they always been beneath our earth?
No. They came shortly after Lucifer went in.
Well, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Lucifer's yeah. been down there for a while now, I think.
And if you really want to know their workings, which is, first off, allow me to say they are humans. They just don't look human. Humans are people that have souls, all right? And all humans, no matter what planet they come from, no matter what they look like, are humans of their planet or soul bearers. And so they're human. They're our brothers and sisters, just as you would be considered the brother or sister of each other because we look like two-leggeds.
So we have some sort of loose relationship to them?
Very loose, yes, but it's going to get pretty strong here shortly. It's already getting extremely strong. It's just they don't run around and show their face to the general public, but it will not be that way long.
So there's about to be a connection between those below and those above?
Oh, yes.
And
others.
Perhaps you would like to describe how that will occur. In other words, what will happen?
Hold.
Pretty interesting stuff.
I cannot tell you how because I do not know how. I just know it is to be. The interaction is going on every day.
When you say soon, then?
Well, soon, within 25 years, well within 25 years.
Okay, well, that's still a while.
Yeah, but I go from different times, so... Yes, it would be quite a while, I guess, to we two leggeds of this earth.
You understand, of course, that the average, you know, person, when they think about what you're talking about, that is the beginning of interaction with lizard people here on the surface, or I don't know, maybe we'd go to them. Either way, that kind of interaction would be really frightening.
Well, again, the frightening part is the fact that we are interacting every day through shapeshifters and half-breeds, and you're not aware of it. And so far, the only way that I can nail one down, really nail one down, is having a photograph of that person, and especially in the shapeshifting end of it. A half-breed.
Okay, exactly what would you look for?
Well,
if you had a photograph...
If I have a photograph, it looks like somebody cut out a cardboard cutting like they do in the movie houses showing Burt Reynolds or God knows who, and they stick it there in the auditorium. But only a photograph reveals that.
By percentage of those photographs that you get to see and those people you see casually or not so casually, how many do you see?
I've only seen one in photo, and that's because I don't run around with a camera taking pictures of crowds.
Uh-huh.
It just happens to be one of the half-breeds that I deal with, and this guy was doing pretty good, but he changed without being aware that he's changed. You know, I wasn't aware.
What do you mean was? You laid a past tense in there on me.
Well, he, in his normal two-legged walk upon this earth, he's a half-breed. And you take a picture of this gentleman when he's in this mode.
And?
And he looks like any other picture of any other picture, you know. And but they are so fast at shape-shifting, so fast of pulling out the essence of the being himself, the one that's half-breed, and slipping in full bore, that like a walk-in, what is called a walk-in, and it happens so quickly that one minute the one that you know is there, and the next minute you still think you know that's that one, but without a photograph, you don't know.
Well, have you ever managed to get a photograph of anybody in the middle of this person, in the middle of person, shape-shifting?
Well, first off, you're right. It's a person. But no, oh, I
loosely.
Haven't, although I have seen them shape-shift. I just haven't got a photo of it.
In other words, somebody is sort of halfway here and halfway there. I don't know.
Well, it's a strange deal, but they're good at this, and there's a lot of interaction. You rub shoulders with them yourself, and I'm not aware of it. I'm sure of it, because there's that many running around here.
I have no doubt of it. I rub shoulders, I'm sure, with, you know, the way I talk about all this stuff on the air, my friend, I'm rubbing shoulders with all kinds of things. I can feel it all around me, always have been.
Well, you can feel one now, another nut on the air, right?
You described some awfully big areas underneath the earth.
Yes.
Would there be a tactical advantage, a spiritual advantage? What advantages would there be for us to get down into these areas and make contact?
Well, like the long walkers that I spoke of before, the advantage is escaping the width effect that is going to go on very soon. And that's started, you know, not too long ago in the first place. Everything, the earth will flip or roll, if you want. It will be in a three-jerk, mind you, stage over a 10-month period. And Sweden will end up being the South Pole. And if you have a globe, put your finger where Sweden is, well, put it above the South Pole.
And you're saying that's where the North Pole is going?
That is right.
Yeah, well, that's quite a flip. Red Elk, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour.
Destination unknown, double-crossed messenger, all alone. Can't get no connection, can't get through. Where are you? Yeah, the night is living on his guilty mind. This far from the borderline. When the hitman comes, knows damn well he has been cheated.
Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Right. What we have here is a Native American medicine man. Now, this is pretty far out for a lot of you, I know, and pretty far out for me, too. But you know something? There's a whole world of knowledge out there that we don't know a damn thing about. And that's what this man has studied all his life. He knows things that are so alien to you and I that it sounds, well, I know how it sounds. But before dismissing any of it, I think you should listen very, very carefully. A lot is pretty wild and pretty out there in the Twilight Zone, all right? But it's absolutely fascinating. He's the man who nailed down the shadow people for us. Tonight we've got a lot to tackle. Stay right there. There's truly an entire world out there that most don't understand. Many who listen to this program have sort of a hint, but basically there's an entire world out there that's a separate world from the one that we understand and think we revolve in proficiently. That would be the world of Red Elk. Here he is once again. Now, you're saying that you have information that is prompting you to come on the program tonight and talk about, you've said all of it, meaning, I guess, for us, for humans, is coming down. What exactly do you mean?
Well, it's the Creator has got everything right on time. Everything is planned. Everything is working into His hands. Everything. People are worried about your weather shifts, your changes, and so on and so forth.
There's quite a bit to worry about in that area, Red Elk.
We just had
84-mile-an-hour winds scream across the desert Monday, and there's destruction all over the place. The weather is really turning on us. But you say that's only the beginning, eh?
Oh, yes. It, to me, I believe everything started in 1996. It could have been earlier, it could have been later, but that's where I put it. And it's just going to get worse, but understand, it can be changed. It's only the greatest probability.
All right, let's nail down what it is you're talking about.
All right. One word, Armageddon.
Armageddon?
Yes.
The end of the world.
Oh, no. The end of civilization. The world won't end for another somewhere until around the year 4000.
Well, the end of civilization, that's...
As we know it, yes.
That's big enough. And when all is said and done, and we'll get to whatever is going to do this here, I'm sure, shortly, after Armageddon, what will the world be?
A mess. And it'll take 30 or 40 years for those who survive it to get back on their feet again.
What kind of world it will be? And I understand mess, but I mean...
Well, there you'll be lucky to find 2.5 miles of highway that isn't broken up.
That'd be a mess, all right.
Almost every tree, animal, plant, and water will be gone.
Yeah,
or poisoned.
Yeah.
But this is one reason that I'm ordered to teach what I've been ordered to, so that the knowledge that the medicine people and the red people have considered it to be sacred is put out, so that the survivors will have that knowledge. By learning now, it will pass through. Some people will remember.
Do you understand that a lot of people wouldn't want to live in a world like that? They'd rather not be alive in the world you're describing?
I do, and I also understand people. Too many people, they talk the talk, but when it comes to death, they sit there and fight it left and right. And you're going to have those that are going to fight it and make it through.
Would it be a world that you would want to survive in?
Yes. It gives you the opportunity to start.
You might even be at home in that world.
Me?
Yep, you.
I'm afraid you're right.
But for a lot of people, I mean, what you're describing is indeed the end of civilization. All right, now let's get down to what would cause the end of civilization as you see it coming down.
Well, it boils down to the warfare that is right now going on. It is between Lucifer and the Creator. It started all over again, and the Unholy Four, which are four different alien beings, including the Dracolian race, the so-called Greys. We call them insect, or I like to call them bee people. A group, the gargoyles on that planet that's coming, that one that makes a big oval path.
Gargoyles. You mean...
Well, they look like gargoyles. Gargoyles.
What you are obviously referring to is the 10th planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Sitchin, the whole Sitchin story.
Well, I don't know the whole story. All I know is that dang thing is loaded with bear.
And with gargoyles.
Well, I mean gargoyles when I say bear. Yeah, they're the worst things in our solar system. They're just unbelievable. Let me run up and hug a lizard compared to those son of a gun.
So the lizards are really almost
as bad as a gargoyle.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say yeah. They're nothing compared to the
But I mean, comparing the two, I'd rather hug a lizard.
You'd rather hug a lizard?
Yeah.
Well, so then we're in trouble beneath and above.
Yes.
So to speak. Right?
But less trouble beneath than above.
Well, what about right here on the surface? Now, you mentioned the ongoing troubles. We've got trouble in the Middle East. Powell is over there right now, having essentially no success in stopping the fighting. The fighting is continuing. And, you know, of course, the Bible tells us that when Armageddon comes, it will come and begin in that exact area, of course.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They're going about that all wrong. But, again, we are on the path of the greatest probability. But it is still yet a probability. It can be changed, and we can turn everything around. You and I and the poorest nation can be living in an utter paradise if we as a mass of people would put our mind together. And Mr. Bell, you have done it a number of times on your show.
Nothing at that level, Red Elk. I have done experiments that suggest what you may be saying could be true. I don't know.
Well, what you're doing, my friend, is quite scriptural, but, you know, two or more together in my name. And I'm not going to say that the name of Christ, I mean, I'm saying it, but you got to remember what that two-legged being was. He was love on two legs. Any two together in love, in pure love, you know, not lust love or anything like that, but caring love, Then they can change much. And if we as a world could gather together in love, or the majority of us worldwide, not just the United States, I'm speaking across our planet, truly aim our love.
You know what? I don't doubt that that is right, because then all hearts would change. But, and I also don't doubt that mass consciousness can do some things that are scaring me a little bit. I'll admit to all of that even. But I don't see those hearts changing right now. In fact, if you look at the present progression of events, there's more reason to believe that Armageddon is just a tick away, Red Elk. It's much easier to believe that than it is that all of these hearts are going to change, and the Palestinians are going to embrace the Israelis, and the Israelis are going to embrace all the Palestinians, even Yasser, and all get together and be peace. If I were a betting man, Red Elk, I don't think I'd be betting on that.
Well, I would be right alongside you. This is why this is the greatest probability. This is why Armageddon looms. But, again, it can be changed.
All right, but if it is not changed, which I'm sorry, pragmatically, I consider much more possible, then what is going to happen?
Well, Mr. Bell, you don't understand the Creator's plan, and I'll try to narrow real quick. Basically, Earth is a mouse trap in space. You and I are the cheese, and all people of all the creations in planes, times, and dimensions, not parallel times, are coming here. They are at this very moment battling above and around us.
Uh-huh.
And they're laying, they're battling over you and I.
And we're the cheese.
We're the cheese. We have all the DNA of every soul-bearing being from day one, long before the earth was born, from day one in our bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And the unholy four are claiming us as theirs, and the other says, wait a minute, they've got our bloodline too. Some people don't want to go to war, but they have no choice. So literally everybody is being drawn to the cheese, to the trap.
Well, I don't want to go to war, and yet I feel it is almost inevitable.
Unfortunately, you're correct, my friend.
Just out of curiosity, without intervention, without change, Red Elk, how close do you suppose we are? How much time is left if it goes all the wrong way?
If it goes all the wrong way,
that's right.
Again, I am overstretching because I'm shown things, I'm told things, but I'm never given the time frame, ever. And I know this deep within my heart. I'm way above knowing. I know that I'm correct, that we are within the time frame of within 25 years. Well within it.
25 years. That's not very long, and that doesn't give people with children a lot of hope.
Well, there's so much hope out there. Everybody, you know, I tell the truth, at least as I know it. By the way, I represent the Inuit society. I do not represent any American Indian tribe or nation at all. This is my society that I belong to. And under that, I want to make it clear, under that, this is why these things are being brought out.
Well, you call yourself a contrarian, right?
Well, I think you called me that.
Well, I read.
Contrary,
I just read your introduction here.
I don't even know what contrarian means, but I'm contrary. I'm a high up.
Nay, you don't know what it means. A contrarian is one who is totally opposite to the status quo. One who.
Well, okay. We call that just contrary. It's that extra one is.
You got a contrary nature, huh?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm doing this on orders, and I don't obey any man. I mean.
You're doing this on whose orders?
The Creator's. All 12 of us are doing it on the Creator's orders. There's only 12 in our Hyoka.
Only 12 of you?
Yeah, there's hundreds of Hyoka, but there's only 12 on this planet that are in our Hyoka.
Where are the other 11?
One's Japan, one's South America, one's Africa, one's Arabia, and he isn't there yet, but he's on his way to be there in about under 2 years. Let's see, one's in Europe somewhere, I can't remember, one's in Russia. Gee, I can't nail them all. But we all have our little areas of work.
Are you in contact with the other?
Three
others?
Yes.
Huh. And their view?
Our view is identical. We're all trained identical.
Okay. Then I suppose the inevitability of this appears now even greater. Listen, I want to ask you about something that perhaps coming up after the break that was brought up the other day on the program, and I don't know if what category it fits in, but I've begun to receive emails and communications from a whole lot of people in my audience about mirrors. Now,
yes, I heard that.
Oh, did you really? You heard something about that?
Yes, well, I heard a part of the program before I crashed, yeah.
I'm going to read you a particularly interesting email. I've got hundreds of them now. It's one of those things that got brought up on the program, and apparently there's something about a mirror that gives one, I don't know what it does. I really just don't know. I'll read you the story and let you see what you think. But do you know mirrors to have?
I know mirrors that trap events.
Trap events?
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. Trap events.
Yes. I know walls that trap events. Mountains, valleys that trap events. Not ghosts, just the past caught on film in a strange way.
Yeah, actually, there's science to back you up. I'm told that one day when we know how to do it, we will be able to actually extract memory from things like windows. That you could actually download the memory of that window.
Mr. Bell, a surprise to you. The medicine people do know how to do it.
Really?
Well, sir, with the Creator in all things, and with the ability to in-tune yourself to the Creator, you can talk to a mirror. You can talk to a road and say, where did the killer go? And the road's connected to another road and another road.
Huh.
And you can trace it like a bloodhound.
So you can actually converse with these things.
Well, sure. Even the great one, the pale one, the two-legged love on two legs, he said the rocks could shout. He'd talk to a tree. It responded. You betcha. You betcha. And I can guarantee there's a lot of people that come to me. I take them on a tree trip. And afterwards, I take them outside, and the vast majority speak with trees. And it shakes them up. One, the last time, spoke with a stone.
With a rock.
A big one, yeah. It literally became a face and spoke to him, and he came in.
Uh-huh.
He came in, well, he, yeah, he sure, that was an experience for that guy.
Now...
You can even meditate sitting in front of a toilet seat. Can you imagine that?
There are some things. There are some things perhaps better not imagine. for safety here, let's get back to the rock part. what did the rock say to this person?
I don't know. It was all on film. The people went out. At my orders, after this little exercise I teach, and all of them went out. One had so many things chatting, he couldn't decide which one was chatting at him. So he got a lot of nothing in the long run. But I knew one would be speaking to a rock. I had no idea who.
A lot of people, really, and I'm certainly included in that group, trust me, would want to know what a rock has to say, or even the...
Actually, sir, you and I, the human race, are far dumber than a rock.
Oh, a bag of rocks, huh?
Just one.
We're dumber than a rock. In what sense?
Well, first off, you've got to recall the rock, no matter its size. it breeds.
Yes, really?
Well, yes, really. It rocks and rolls and becomes smaller and smaller and becomes sand and then mixes with organic material and becomes mud and dirt. And then along comes a volcano and it grows up again and it starts the whole process again.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, is the life of a rock, which is no doubt where we have derived the expression, life is a rock. Or is it life is a bitch and then you die? Well, anyway.
Back in the USA, back in the bad old days, in the heat of a summer night.
The bluest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle. And the hills, the greenest green in Seattle. Like a beautiful child growing up free and wild,
full of hopes and full of fears, full of laughter, full of tears, full of dreams to last the years in Seattle, in Seattle.
Doing this for Red Elk.
When it's time to leave your home and your loved one.
Good morning, everybody.
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Actually, in song, I couldn't get much closer than Seattle. He's not in Seattle, of course. He's closer to Mel's Hole, but it's as close as I can get. Good morning, everybody. Red Elk, who's a Native American contrarian, an interesting turn of a phrase there, eh? Is my guest, and we're talking about talking to rocks at the moment. We're going to get right back there, too. Stay right where you are. All right, I can't leave this rock thing for a moment. I do have something on mirrors, but I really... you know, of course, that when you begin talking about this kind of thing, even though theoretical physicists are now beginning to say that things have memory, and that memory one day will be retrieved, I mean, that's right at the very edge of our theoretical physics in hard science right now, Red Elk, but here you are saying...
Because they are white and they're just starting to learn.
Because they're white and just starting to learn, huh?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that a rock... as a whole, would have a lot to contribute. Now, some rocks perhaps more than others, depending on where they've been and what they've been doing, I guess, but I'm serious. What could be derived? What information, if you could communicate in some manner with a rock, could you possibly get?
you speak as if I don't, if I could. No, I do.
I don't mean to sound doubtful. I'm trying to ask an honest question here.
Here's one instance. I was working on a construction site. They had made a ditch, and I'd been ordered to dig out this rock.
Okay.
Well, dang, I was in my second day, and it was not a big rock. It wasn't even half my size, you know. It was a little, I doubt a thing, weighed more than 40, 42 pounds.
What do you weigh?
all right. Well, I'm down from 293 to 178.
Well, so that would still be a pretty good size rock. You're under.
Well, I'm talking size-wise, not weight-wise.
Oh, I see. All right.
Okay. And anyway, man, this thing was getting me ticked off. And, boy, I got so darn mad at it, I started talking to it and really lambasting the poor bugger.
Why? Wait a minute. Why were you upset with a rock?
You want to dig a rock that size for 2 days?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, neither did I.
So in other words,
I was out there in this heat digging this stupid thing.
Oh.
And it was just hanging on to the earth. It was like it had arms.
I've got you.
And finally, I really lambasted into it, and the darn rock said, I am holding the roots of that tree. And you could get the idea of it pointing to that tree.
So the rock told you that it was an important aspect of the tree.
That is correct.
So then what did you do?
I said, to heck with you. I got a job to do, and by golly, let go.
So you're coming out of there, or I'll blow you to bits.
Just about. If I had the dynamite, I would have done it.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but you know how people are going to think of this, Red Elk? I guess some of us, in the same sense, would talk to a rock like that. I mean, we might, but we would not...
Mr. Bell, all medicine people talk to things that you think of wood as a tree is a living thing.
Well, Red Elk, I talk to my car. I've got to be honest with you. My car, at least as of yet, has not responded in any way I can discern.
Well, someday, if you break down in that desert of yours,
I did once, yes.
Well, Talk to the park. Talk to the creator who's in all things.
You know, actually, when it broke down, I did talk to it. I mean, I got up on the mountain, and the fuel pump went. I mean, it was brand new, right? And the fuel pump went. And I said a lot of things, probably most of them really unkind, for several hours. My wife and I both did. In fact, she had words with it as well. But you see, it didn't answer.
Well, I've literally had the same problem, a fuel pump, just making a small pond under my truck. And no money to fix it, no way to get it fixed.
Very bad.
So I walked around it and prayed and spoke with it in prayer, knowing that I am praying to the God who is in all things, the Creator who is in all things.
So you prayed to or for your fuel pump?
I did.
And what happened?
It stopped leaking. I drove all the way home on an empty tank, some 47 and a half miles. With that empty on my gauge,
very impressive.
I got to my driveway.
Yeah.
I got out. I shut the door.
Yeah.
Bang! It started leaking again, and it was so dry it only leaked the gasoline that was stuck in the uphill side running down of gasoline of the fuel line.
Well, then maybe it worked. In my case, I really only transmitted very negative things to it. Increasingly negative, actually, as the hours wore on, and finally this guy with this big flatbed thing comes along and hikes it up and takes us to a place where I said further unkind things about it to other people, in fact. Anyway, it's a long story, but it never worked out well. Next time, maybe I'll try a different approach with it.
Well, you know, Mr. Bell, there are no accidents. You learn from every aspect of your life if you got half a brain.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that either.
Well, you should learn. You know, bad things happen to people, and it's not until maybe years later that they realize how they've grown.
All right, I want to read you something, and I want you to digest this and tell me what we're dealing with. I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do a program on this subject Friday. I have been receiving some of the most intriguing emails since the subject was broached in an open line segment last week, and I knew this was going to blow wide open. And well, here, listen. Dear Mr. Bell, recently you talked briefly on your show about people who have had strange experiences with mirrors. I'd like to share with you and your listeners something strange that's happened to me over the period of several decades, actually, now. Some years ago, whenever I'd look in a mirror, I would see this relatively good-looking young man looking back at me. Now, I came to accept this as pretty close to reality. When I'd smile, he'd smile back. Kind of enjoyed looking at mirrors. I even looked forward to my encounters with this young man. After some years, the young man disappeared. And suddenly one day I looked in the mirror and I saw this ugly old fat man staring back at me. Somewhere in the eyes, I could see the vestiges of the younger man who used to inhabit the mirrors. But this was and still is in no way any reflection, no pun intended, I guess, or any sort of reality. No matter what I have done, the young man refuses to resurface. I suspect he's been kidnapped by the shadow people, or perhaps fallen into Mel's hole, or maybe even been led astray by the whisperings of Ramona's cat. But it's my cat, actually, but it whispers to her. But for some reason, he refuses to return. I've not mentioned this strange set of events to more than just my closest friends. The ones I've dared share it with have suggested that maybe my problem lies closer to home. One even suggested plastic surgery. Of course, you and I know the problem actually lies in the strange happenings inside my mirror. I thought maybe you should warn your listeners to watch for this kind of thing. It can ruin your day. Signed, Rick. Now there's a hell of a story, huh?
Yes, especially signed to Rick. It sounded like some crazy old chick.
No.
I'll be darned.
No,
if,
and
I can explain some of this, I think.
Be my guest.
Well, sir, I have gotten three, they call themselves physicists.
Yes.
It's kind of a hard word for me to
say. Okay.
To say, yeah. Yes. And they want me to train them. And I was talking to one, and we got on the now this will take just a bit, but we got on to talking about dimensions and what our Earth is doing, getting ready to flip. It's causing a vibration and stuff. But nevertheless, and it's changing us. It's making us blurring our mind, okay? So that we're starting to see things that were unseeable, know things that were unknowable, except for people as myself and others in medicine and deep wakayan or holiness, and deep meditators, deep thinkers. And this is what's helping cause it. But on this talk, I asked him, what do you see dimensions to look like? And he said, well, Mr. Red Oak, to us, or at least to me, like a ribbon. I says, this is good. I do, too. And I said, what about the ribbon? How many sides does it have? And he says, it's got two sides. And I laughed, and I says, come on, use that physicist thing brain. I said, you say two sides, think again. And he thought, and then it clicked, you know, and by golly, the up, the down, and each side of the ribbon. And that, now this guy's improving, right? So now he's got four sides of the ribbon. And I says, great, now, think again. And he couldn't get it. There's the inside. Now, understand it. Look at it as a wide ribbon. That is wavering. He sees it as that, you know, wavering, weaving, but turning around about itself, tying itself in light knots, untying itself, and every time it rubs and twists and turns, it creates holes or rippings of veils, if you want, where things become clearer that were never seen before. And because...
Well, is that what's going on with the mirror?
That's right. That's just part of what's going on, Mr. Bell.
Well, I am getting a ton of reports about some really strange stories in mirrors now.
This sir, is just... you're just starting... You're within the iceberg, but still on the edge. There's so many things that are going to be happening that... Through this dimensional shift, through the mousetrap and the cheese and all coming to it, it's all related, it's all metacreation, and it's all for the great shift that's coming on our planet.
When people say to you that you're nuts, what do you tell them?
I just kind of, you know, look at them in the eye and put my finger to my lips and go boo 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 boo.
That's well, I don't know if that's a big
improvement. No, but you know,
you just let them continue with what you consider to be their delusion, right?
Well, they have their opinion. I have my opinion. I know rocks can talk. I have been helped by rocks. I've talked to water, told not to drink. I am polluted. Go down the road on an unknown road.
So in other words, you have had water warn you.
Not just warn, but actually audibly speak.
Direct you to a better source.
Yes.
Oh, no, oh, wait a minute. You said audibly speak.
Yes, now, audibly in my head.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Okay. In other words, it's not just the sound of the rushing water forming a voice saying...
Yeah, right.
Okay, no, this is in your head. It actually appears to you.
But I guarantee you know it's not your thoughts.
Well,
there's so much out there, Mr.
I know this is out on the edge of all things that we could even remotely consider possible, but again, it doesn't really get in a giant dispute with current theoretical physics. And there are a lot of things we don't know, and it may well be that things can transmit information to human beings. I don't rule that out.
But Mr. Bill, there would be a lot of murders, a lot of missing people found, and or at least alive or dead, if people would just learn how, and it can be done. There was a program a few years back, one of these all these wanted, you know, or mystery things, and a lady had disappeared up here in this state in eastern Washington. Her bones have called me for years.
Her bones?
Yes, she was murdered. I've seen how it happened. I saw how she was lured there. I saw where she was buried. I know where she's at. And I know so much, they'd nail me for the murder. My wife has asked me over, at least at minimum three times, honey, why don't you call the police and tell them where it's at? And I says, I don't want to get arrested, you know?
All right, then, Red Elk, I'm going to read you something else. I was going to hold this for a future date, but I cannot resist. This appeared in a Manila newspaper on March 4th, 2002, a Manila newspaper. The headline is, Mysterious Voice Leads to Mass Grave. A mysterious voice heard by a woman was said to have led authorities to a common grave in the central Philippines, a province which was allegedly used by communist guerrillas in its purging campaigns. Now listen, a woman in her 30s who introduced herself simply as Eileen Inday told reporters who visited the unmarked common gravesite at a remote village in Mabon, M-A-U-B-A-N town, that she had recently had paranormal experiences. Quote, I kept hearing a mysterious female voice calling for help so that she and her companion could rest in peace. The voice asked me not only to pray for their souls, but to search for their grave. She added, she said she sought the help of the military, who sent soldiers, get this, sent soldiers, to dig an area close to this woman's house in the San Miguel district. Colonel Efren Oban, task force commander, said they knew the area had been a communist rebel camp during the 1980s. Even though I suspected the grave was a mass burial site of the NPA, New People's Army, I was still surprised when we discovered the piles of human skeletons, he says. The remains of five people thus far have been dug up from the common grave. A separate pit contained belongings of what the military claimed were victims of communist executions. One of the skeletons was presumed to belong to a woman because of the pink stripes on the blouse that was there and that was still intact. It appeared they were executed hastily. And, in fact, they are just simply shocked at what this woman has led them to. But she says that a voice led her to lead the military to this mass grave. That's a story from Manila. Red Elk, that sounds an awful lot like what you were just talking about.
Well, Mr. Bell, yes. Let me make a comment here. For all people that are listening, please. Christians, I myself am a Christ follower, a Christian. That's what the word means. But nevertheless, that's neither here nor there. But the world of Christians say that to talk to the dead is ungodly, unholy, and blah.
That's
blah,
right.
On and on.
That's right.
But I say you believe the word of God. Oh, yes, 100%. Absolutely. And I tell them flat out, I look them in the eyes and I say, sir or ma'am, you are a liar. Because Christ said, follow me. And what are you going to do about this one that says, follow me, do what I do, learn what I learn. And he's up there on a mountaintop talking to three dead guys.
Red Elk, on that note, hold it right there. That is my guest, Red Elk. And we are talking of all kinds of very strange things, which will continue if you'll stay right there. I'm Art Bell.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
All I know is there's a very great deal beneath the earth and above the earth that we just don't know much about. And when a woman in the Philippines leads the military to a mass grave based on a voice pleading for her to help so that these souls can rest, and it happens, it really works, or when somebody looks in a mirror and sees something that ought not be there, to me that means there's a big world out there we just don't understand, both below, above, and right here on terra firma. That's one of the areas that Red Elk talks about. I know a lot of people go, you are out of your mind. Maybe, maybe not. Well, we've had a giant coronal explosion on the sun, and that baby's headed straight at Earth, as a matter of fact, impacting Earth now. And that has had an effect on my clocks here, my atomic clocks, temporarily. We're having absorption event going on. It's kind of like evaporation in a way. I suppose it's relative. And so we've got that going on and a lot of other technical interesting things going on. And by golly, here comes John from Wenatchee, Washington, who recalls my precognitive experience with something telling me that my car was going to be hit. You remember that? I've told you that story many times. I'm not going to go over it now. But he says, hey, Art, your car has talked to you. Who do you think it was who told you that it was going to be hit so long ago when you had that experience? It was your car. Could be. Red Elk, you're back on the air again.
Okay. Let's wrap this little piece up. I'm not off of the subject about your mirrors. Actually, we're right on it. We're reading a story. And this woman who heard this voice, she's probably Catholic. Most of those over there are.
The majority of Filipinos are Catholic, yes.
Yeah, not all, but most.
The majority, and, yes.
To come forth with this, scary to her. And I was mentioning, what are you going to do with our two-legged love, on a mountaintop with talking to three dead men? The fact is, and this goes to the whole thing, the fact is we're not to call up the dead. If they show up, what are you going to do about it? You understand?
Oh, yeah.
The Christians have got it. Oh, they're burying themselves because of their stupidity, but don't I make friends. But nevertheless, the mirror and things like that, all of this, the voices, the mirrors.
Why would a mirror?
It's all this twisting and turning of the ribbon and the ripping of the veils and the vibration of the inner earth.
Yes, but out of curiosity, Red Elk, why would a mirror be a doorway to see or hear things that you cannot otherwise? What properties in a mirror?
Beats me, Mr. Bell. All I know is these things happen, and they're going to get far, far more bruises.
There are going to be more and more of them, huh?
I almost said bizarre. Bizarre? That's the word I'm looking for.
Bizarre,
Yeah, on my website I speak of this. So it's... Hey, get ready, folks. We're in for a change, and you can't help it. You're either going to turn like a green reed and bend with what's happening, or stand there with your back straight and bust off. There's a big change. We're in it. It's not coming. We're there. It's just getting stronger.
Well, I do believe that. We're in the middle of a change, all right, and the weather appears to be leading the way. you know, again, I go to what's going to happen after all of this change occurs, and what kind of world we're going to have, and what kind of people are going to be the ones that are going to make it from here to there. I take it it's going to be a relatively small percentage compared
if
to the
my
six...
math is correct, sir, 10 million on this earth will be left.
Yes, all right. Well, there are presently almost 6 billion people on the earth, if not by now more. So if you're talking about a few million, maybe 10 million people surviving, that's almost everybody dying. Mm-hmm. But of those who do make it, Red Elk, dire as this prediction is, what kind of people are most likely to make it?
Sir, every race, every creed, every color, and a mixed mash from rich to the poorest. It is almost like throwing lots. And Snake Eyes comes up out of 400 dice at one time.
So you're saying that there is no particular kind of spiritual person that's going to make it, and it's going to be a virtual Noah's Ark of a sample of almost everything on Earth.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Isn't
and
that
only
interesting?
Those that go through it and survive are those that the Creator has chosen. What will happen? You'll have 30 to 40 years of pure survival, deep survival, picking up a rock to hit another rock to make a knife, not knowing how to nap it, you know, into a sharp edge, but just busting rock against rock to cut. People in time will, a big city will be 16 mud huts like in Africa, made up of mud and what little vegetation they can find.
But that means that everything we now know, our big cities, our industrial might, our military might, our infrastructure, you said roads would essentially be gone. You'd only find short portions of them. What is it, Red Elk, that could do this kind of incredible, just incredible, unbelievable damage?
The same thing, my brother, that took down the city of Atlantis II. Not one down there in the Bahamas. Number one is in under ice in South Pole. The main is, Atlantis was an island country stretching all the way across, most underwater. It now or under ice. And it will be Earthship or...
First time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
And, guys, my lips are dry.
I understand. Take a good deep breath and take a drink of water.
I got a good old Pepsi here. Do you mind if I take a sip?
No.
Hang on. Go tell somebody about that great CC radio. I got two of them. I just wish I had modern ones.
You have two CC
radios?
Yeah,
I got one of them rock and roll wind-ups. It looks like a great big old giant lunchbox
on
the side.
That would be a Beijing radio with a crank, yes.
Yeah, I love it. And so do the people that come. We go out into my lodges and just crank away, you know. But it doesn't last quite as long as they claim, and so I do it between on-commercial times just to make sure I don't, you know, have a dead one.
You get
into a hot area, and the dang thing dies, you know.
You've got to crank for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, you crank like crazy, I think.
Now, the earlier models, you may have an early model.
Yeah.
The new Super Beijing radio will give you...
I can't afford it. Once a year, my wife and I, when income tax comes in, we make an agreement on what we can buy and can't buy, and I got one of those a few years back. And then I got this one.
Oh, a few years back. Oh, well, there you are. You've got one of the very old models then.
Yeah.
The newer models.
I love one with the flashlight.
Now, listen to me now. The newer models, yeah, with the LED light will last, in fact, 35 minutes for 30 seconds of cranking. That's how far the technology has come since you bought yours.
It doesn't matter. It works.
I know. I know. You've obviously been using it for years, so that tells people how long they last. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then I got one of those that bring in all stations, and I'm living in a little 8x26-foot camp trailer. That's home. And I've got a great big expensive stereo thing here, and I have to string wires across the ceiling. I still can't pick nothing up for the darn. But I turn on that other one, and Lord Almighty, I'm
you know,
a third of the way across the United States.
Well, this is 2 days in a row I've had unsolicited testimonials from my guests.
Well, you got another one. Yeah, okay. You might spend the loot, but it is worth every penny.
There you go. All right. Red Oak, back, if you don't mind, to the inner earth. It's something people are really interested in. I have a question for you. If, Red Elk, if I have an opportunity to go to Mel's Hole, to go to this second hole here in my state, described by Mel, should I go, or would it be dangerous?
Well, sir, it's only dangerous when the military owns it.
And
it's only dangerous if you happen to fall into it.
Well, but short of all of that, I guess the military doesn't have this one yet. That's what I've heard, right?
Give them time.
But I did hear, as I'm sure you heard, about this
weird hole down in Nevada.
Well, yes, this thing that fell into the hole, the dog that fell into the hole, or went into the hole. And what came out of this animal?
Well, I first off, there's a magazine called Spectrum, S-P-E-C-T-R-U-M.
I think I've heard of it, yes.
Yes. They interviewed me. I fell asleep 3 times reading my own interview. And I did. But, boy, am I a mouthy guy.
What did they interview you about?
But anyway, that's, everything, these tunnels and everything. And I explained that. I explained how it cuts through very many parallel times, blowing out these strange coins. And if a dog did come out, why and how it managed to go through that from death to life. What Mr. Mills was talking about down in the new hole with this poor sheep, by the way, the sheep did die of a heart attack.
That's right. A heart attack.
Yes. The fear was so great, it couldn't take it. And what that beasty little thing was, I asked the inner queen, what was that all about? And she told me a new name I'd never heard of called rock flyers. And they are a form of angels.
Say the name again, please.
Rock flyers. They literally live in stones, and they are a form of angels that she claims. Now, I'm only going by what she's told me. Are the totems or the angels of the fairies and gnomes and stuff, and literally the same totems that our Indian people carry that come from inner earth. A totem is not a totem pole. We're speaking a totem or a protector. See, we didn't have the Jewish angels with wings and white looks. We, you know, the Creator didn't leave anybody alone. He knew what we could accept. And what Mr. Waters had, and it's not his name, but anyway, what Mr. Waters said or happened was a strange being coming up. She said, this is extremely rare. It happens just a few times in many, many centuries. This being, this...
But whatever it is, yes, but whatever this was, almost like the movie Alien, emerged...
Yes, it was an angel, sir, that took the opportunity, a rock flyer angel, that took the opportunity to get up out of the inner earth to face Mr. Waters, to heal him, and then jump back in, or dive back in, and become the rock flyer again. It literally took on the opportunity, and it came up strange. But and she claimed this is extremely rare, and she could not emphasize that strong enough.
But
she's not crazy.
But she believed it.
Well, this is the inner queen. She better darn well know it.
You realize, to most people, how crazy this whole inner earth thing sounds.
Well, look, Mr. Bell, inside the earth, where the lizards have claimed their realm, it is really, our own military should learn this. They walk down through the tunnels that connect their caves and homes in the caves. And it's really strange. Their body heat or whatever lights the tunnels about 20, 30 feet in front of them, and it goes out about 10 feet behind them. And even though you and I would, peek our head up and look at the tunnel, you couldn't see anything. You're so far down, you'd poke your eye.
Well, that would seem like an appropriate evolutionary path for a being that lived beneath the ground where there's not light as we understand it.
Yeah, and it's a phosphorus green, and you can read by it. And these Dracolian people, you got to remember, they're just because they look kind of stupid, scary. It does not mean they're dumb. And by the way, they are the ones that have tremendous amount of reason for these inserts that these people are having. You know that they're getting these little pieces of glass like. Things that are put in ears and arms and whatnot.
You're now referring to what we call implants, yes?
Yeah, that's the word, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you just don't realize what these people do, these inner beings. They walk around in these tunnels, and if they get a hunger, a thirst, you know, if they want a shot of liquor, they have actual machinery. Like you and I would go to a motel and go and get a pop out of a machine.
Yes.
They would go down the hall, go to a machine, and they got little bells and whistles on it, little handles and all that jazz, all electronic. And they could see above Earth and spot the one or more who have these inserts and cause problems, and they suck the energy, the fear, if it's a rape, they get the fear of the woman being raped, for instance. Or if it's a bombing at the school. Man, I tell you, these people are causing more trouble than you people have any idea about.
I don't doubt it.
I mean,
we know
they suck on this like you and I would suck on a straw with pop.
Yeah, we know that there is an evil force that appears to be acting upon certain people. Now, others would say, oh, no, it's just the will of man. But really, in some cases, it's so far out, and what is done is so impossibly awful and evil that it's almost, it's pretty easy to imagine there is an external force acting to make this happen.
Well, the funny part about it, Mr. Bell, is the fact that these people, and they are people, they are soul bearers, these people believe, and they do, that they are God, big G. And as God, they can do anything they want. They do not believe in God. They do not believe in Lucifer. And yet they do not know that it is Lucifer who is pulling their chain. They are one of the first, these unholy four are one of the first of his races takeover,
they are in modern parlance unwitting dupes for the devil.
Yes, but they don't know it. They're so stupid they just have no idea, and they in their so-called godness, they do anything with you and me that they want. And you know, there's an easy way to get rid of these darned inserts,
and that is,
well, it's all mental. Everything that we in medicine people do is all mental. You can make them absorb into your skin and go out the drought or in sweat. You can literally make them turn into what would be, well, they're not that size, but just as an example,
is
from
that
a grape
the
to a raisin.
Is that the purpose of the sweat lodge?
No.
Well, you said make them disappear in your sweat.
No, Dad, take a leak. Go to the bathroom. I mean, I was trying to be nice, you know.
I see. I'm
it
even sorry.
It's
in
your
asked,
body and goes up the drought.
I thought we were talking about
that. And you can change them from what, you know, grape to raisin, or you can do the cool one. You can change them to gold, and when they
well, listen, I've got to take a break here and go get rid of a devil, and we'll be right back. My guest is Red Elk. And I am going to turn him over to you. This is your opportunity. You've heard some absolutely off-the-wall, wild stuff tonight, and you can either regard it that way or think that you're hearing something that you can relate to. It'll be interesting to see exactly what you think it really will. So coming up after the break, we're going to the phones with Red Elk. This should be something.
Lightning flashed across the sky. The night
past the gates of the factories. My mom doing the laundry, hanging out shirts in the dirty breeze. And after it rains, there's a rainbow, and all of the colors are black. It's not that the colors aren't there, it's just imagination they lack. Everything's the same back in my little town.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It absolutely is. Good morning, everybody. My guest is Red Elk, and he's a Native American contrarian, kind of an interesting guy in so many ways. He talks about an inner earth and so many more things that I thought this hour I'm going to turn him over to you and see what you'd like to know about. Red Elk is a very unusual person. It all continues in a moment. All right, I thought I would take Red Elk now and put him on the telephone with some of you out there. How about that, Red Elk?
Could you wait just a few short minutes?
I'm in complete command. Yes, I can do whatever I want.
Well, there are some things that I would like to put out to you. At first, sir, I finally got to the bottom of the December show's mail, where at least I could actually see the bottom of the last box. And danged if you didn't play it again. And people are, I still haven't got done with December mail. And people are wondering, and I'm getting some angry letters. And my gosh almighty, we had to rent an outhouse because our little bathroom in this trailer is packed with mail. Both back seats are packed with mail. I pick up mail every day. Sir, I started that because I wanted to make this postmaster, you know, get off his duff and do something. And, oh boy, it worked. But talk about white man's revenge. It sure backfired on me.
Well, you're saying, in other words, that a million people wrote to you?
Not a million, no, but I have shaved my finger the thing 6 times now.
Well, so do you want more mail, or do you...
No.
No,
oh,
you
gosh,
don't.
Heavens, no, I got a website, and I'm getting it on the website now, and I'm trying to answer the mail on the website.
I see.
It's not letting me get to the mail there, and I got prisoners. The Hiokas that are not Indians, that are looking for help, and I put them all aside so whenever I get a break, I can write one letter, hit my little button on this God-given computer, and
answer.
Send them every, you know, all
so then,
of them.
So then do you want email?
I don't want that either, but I do have a website, and what I want, sir, is I want my life back.
You want your life back?
Yeah. Gee, I was an obscure nobody, and now I'm an unobscure nobody. So,
Well,
a world of change here, and everybody thinks I'm making money hand over fist. Holy mackerel.
Well, I don't know how you're making money.
Well, I started putting these lessons out on the website that people can buy it. I have written over 700 replies on how to levitate by hand.
Yeah, I know
by
a lot
the way,
of
out of all of those over 700, I counted them. I do have two people doing it.
You have two people.
Yes,
who,
but that's about
who,
average.
Who
you're
after,
only going to get
who,
about.
Wait a minute. After your instructions, Red Elk,
yes,
two
sir.
People that are successfully levitating
yes,
off the ground.
And her young daughter. The daughter is real good at it. She'll get up and tell her mom, "Mom, I'm going to go fly now," and take off. Levitate, you know, lift.
I'm with you.
Mother, she's scaring everybody. I think she belongs to these line dancers, hillbilly dancing things, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they click, 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 jump, click, 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 jump.
Yes.
Well, she goes so high, it scares the hell out of everybody.
Okay,
and she wrote me, she's worried, what are we going to do about this thing? I said, well, that's why we don't do it in public, you idiot.
Then let me understand, then. You're selling on your website lessons?
Yeah, and I got Indians ticked off, giving sacred knowledge and making money, and watch out for this guy, he's a con. And
just because you're teaching people to levitate.
Well, to them, you know, this is sacred stuff that I'm teaching. It's sacred.
So they, as far as they're concerned, you should not be charging people.
That's right.
I see.
Right.
Well, and you
and
know.
Yet it's okay that
person's
got to
live.
Medicine man gets paid when they come to him.
Yeah.
And
that's
well,
good
I've
point.
Got thousands coming to me, and they can't afford to come here, and they want to learn. I have never seen. I didn't know there were so many people that wanted to grow spiritually. And I'm only one man. I've asked for help from the medicine people, and you know, shoot, no, they're going to let their ego control them. They're going to let the ways, if the world goes on as probable,
so then you
they're
going
to let the ways die out, and our survivors, you'll be lucky if they do survive just because of their stupid ego.
So you probably don't want to give out your address so they can actually come visit you in
person.
Oh,
hey, they are. No, my address is, shoot, I don't care.
No, don't give it out. Don't give it out.
No, except for guy's sakes, that you ought to see my website. You ought to see the guest say, ooh-wee.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
okay, anything else you want to get out before phone calls?
Yes, sir. Inserts, I'll finish that. You can change them to love. And when these lizards dial in on you, they think they're sucking in a good drink, and it's like bile. And it just, oh, gosh, I got them picked off at me. And if anybody wants to, you know, many have asked me to come and teach, but these are all across the United States, many in each state, and I can't afford to get back to them and say, well, you get a hold of so-and-so, they want it too. I don't have their permission. But if people would like to set up chat clubs, get a gathering together where I can afford to drive there. I'm not going to fly there. I got stuff in my medicine bag. Nobody gets in my medicine bag, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let any of those airplane people get in it.
Well, that's right. You would have to let them inspect your bag, wouldn't you?
They ain't about to. I'm not going to go, so that means I drive.
What do you think they would do if they inspected your bag, Red Elk?
It doesn't matter, sir.
I'm just curious.
Just the fact that they would get in there and touch it is against all to me.
Okay.
You know, that is sacrilege.
Okay. All right. A lot of people. Now, listen, a lot of people want to talk to you.
Okay, real quick.
All right, you ready?
No. Chat clubs, if anybody. And please think of this. All people, start envisioning what you want the seventh generation ahead to be like. Envision it. Look what the good you want your seventh grandchildren to be. Envision it now and work towards that goal. Now let's go.
most people can't even envision where their own child's life is going, Red Elk, much less seven generations away. First time caller line, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hello.
Aloha, Art.
Aloha.
And the same to you, Red Elk. I'm Kathleen from Kona. A little aside, I did get a reply from your December show, and thank you very much.
Oh, there you go, Red Elk. See, there's somebody you communicated with.
Oh, believe me, I communicated with a lot.
He did.
Okay.
Now, here was my question, though, Red Elk. I have a friend, and most recently, she, in passing comment, told me about the lizard person that she had begun seeing, and that this lizard person was in the back of her car, but has become more prominent and, as she said, a part of her family. Now, I didn't know what to make of it, so I made nothing of it to her. But if there is an upside or a downside, and if there's anything that I can advise her, how would I go about that?
First off, she has a lizard showing up like that to my sister because she has these danged inserts in her. Now, she has welcomed the dang thing.
Implants, in other words.
Yeah. She has welcomed this dang thing. She has put herself in extreme danger, and anybody that is involved with her will be very much in danger in time. They're making themselves known more and more. They want full control of everyone on our surface. Make no doubt about that.
Were these implants, when you say she welcomed them, I mean, were they something that were put there without her knowledge?
As a child.
Ah.
And probably, you ask her about missing time many times. The majority of these people, I would say 100%, that have missing time have these implants. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Is there anything I can do as her friend?
Yes.
What?
Of what I told you.
To pray.
Pray is honey, prayer works.
All right, let's try this. Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead and give that a shot. In the meantime, Red Elk, I'll bet you know Pamela Stonebrook, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Heard of her.
You never heard of her?
No, sir.
Okay, Pamela Stonebrook is somebody I initially interviewed some years ago, Red Elk.
The one with the painted hair?
Red Elk, the one with the painted hair,
okay.
who's having an ongoing physical, sexual relationship with a lizard.
Mm-hmm. And enjoying it, every minute of it.
She claims, yes. Uh-huh.
I tell you, these things, they're horny. They're horny.
Yeah, well, that's what she said.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, it is. With what you just said about the lizard people, it doesn't sound like, you know, she's hooking up with the right kind of lizard.
There is no right kind.
Well, there you go. So you would say that she is doing a very, very dangerous thing.
Yes, she sure is courting fire. And I'm not talking hail on her head. And she is, geez. But then again, she's partly controlled. I'll bet you on it, Mr. Bell.
Implants.
I can look at a person and see the inserts and point and touch it and say, have you been hurting here? And, well, gee, yeah, for many years. It's a danged insert in implants.
Implants, yes. All right.
I see these things in people's bodies.
I understand. Wild card line, you're on the air with Red Elk.
Yeah, I've got two questions I'd like to ask. About 3 years ago, I had a dream where the world was, it wasn't so much engulfed as just a wall of flame went around the planet. And the only people that survived were the ones that were in touch with the so-called animal side of them. Would there be anything to that dream, or was it just
would be
the regular?
It would be so true, sir. It's the next time around, my friend, which is very shortly, this world will come close to being destroyed, mostly by fire. And consider when the earth flips, all the electrical wiring that's cracking around live, starting fires, people with candles falling, starting fires. We got a mess ahead of us. And And those, only those who are spiritually in tune with the Creator and all things, including nature, these are the ones that can make it. I'm not going to say they will. I say they can.
Oh,
and
God.
And the military that are running down into the holes.
My other question, is it possible that someone would be like one of these half-breeds that you're talking about? Because I've always felt deep down that I was what the Old Norse or the Vikings called a berserker, which means bear man in their language. And would they know it, or would it be possible that they'd be a half-breed without knowing it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Could you be a half-breed without being aware of it?
Yes, and being a half-breed and being aware of it and just being bewildered because this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Your answer is yes. It is quite possible.
Well, again, you realize that there are a percentage of people out there, Red Elk, and I can tell by looking at my computer screen, who understand what you're saying and do grasp what you're saying, believe me. And then there's another percentage that think you're crazy as a loon.
Well, sir, I say this. Believe not a word I say. Stick around. You'll find out. Or learn to check it. Okay. And then reject or accept. But don't believe anything I'm telling you. You make up your own mind. You're going to find out in the long run.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
Red Elk?
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for sharing the Native American wisdom with us.
Well, I tell you, my brother, I thank you for that. But the American natives, the other half, I'm a breed, remember. The other half aren't happy with me at all.
Well, a lot of medicine people say the same things that you've been saying. But I want to ask you about the hollow earth.
Mm-hmm.
What about these these lizards? Some of the UFO researchers say that they're from other planets.
Yes, originally, and they still are. This is a colony.
How can they be stopped? A lot of people have children. They want a good future for the young generation.
How can they be stopped?
Bad entities be stopped.
My friend, there is a way, and I'm a danger to them, and I'm in deep trouble, even Sharon. But in the long run, the Creator is going to let the spring on the mousetrap stop them. That's why we are here. We volunteer, even though we don't know it. We volunteer to be cheese, bait. And everything is going to know. Once again, there is one Creator, and that Creator is love.
Okay.
But in the meantime, there are ways to cool their thing, but to cool their agenda and their full agenda, no, there's no way to stop that. Only the Creator will do that.
Let's say that you're having an individual encounter with one of these creatures.
Yeah.
What could you do?
Well, first off, sir, don't fear. That's why they're there, to make you fear. They get to suck that energy. It's steak on their sauce.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go, caller. He's basically saying the same thing. He said about some of the shadow people, you'll recall, that they
right on.
They take the energy, they take the fear, and they feed on it.
What about the grays? Are they different?
The grays, sir, in the first place, these little ones that everybody's seeing, those are what is it when you make something out of another human being? Clones. And they're grown plants. They are not humans. They have no soul. They are literally made by the last of the true grays, which look like them, are taller, lankier, much skinnier, bigger head.
And they have no soul. These are created beings, created by...
They're thinking plant beings, just as most of their crafts are made out of plants and can expand or extract. Come in little at 16 feet, go out big at 200, 250 feet, full of our ores.
That's...
How do we waken the news media and the respectable people about what's going on?
Oh, I don't think you're going to do that. they're no more ready to accept a lot of what you've heard tonight than the man in the moon.
80% aren't ready to accept what I'm saying. They're listening.
I'd say that would be even a conservative figure, 80%. Believe me, a lot of people are not going to be willing to buy into this, but I know that a lot of others are. And personally, I'm not sure exactly what to believe myself. I'm really not. We'll be right back.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
It is indeed. My guest is Red Elk, and you're either going to, I think, completely reject what he's saying and think he's loony as can be, or you're going to find some truth in what you're hearing, despite the manner in which it is perhaps being presented to you. There's an obvious truth that some of you will know as you hear it. I guess it just depends on how you take this sort of thing. I don't know. Fascinating man. Red Elk is absolutely a fascinating man. And as you listen to him, there's a coherence to everything he says, even though individually at the macro level, it may seem at times incoherent. It's not. There's a totality of coherence to it. If you're really listening, if you're dismissing it, then you're just going to miss it altogether. And Red Elk would say, well, so what, I suppose. But there is an overall coherence to it and a message that comes from it. We'll get right back to him. Once again, into the night with Red Elk. So, Red Elk, in terms of communication with you, what you would really like is for people to go to your website, right?
Well, yes, and if they're going to write a note, keep it very short. If they're going to ask a question, please, I'm a one-finger typer. I'm really cramped in this trailer, and I'm left-handed, and I have to keep my hand to the side because there's no room to move. I've got stuff I'm sitting on about a little 2.5-foot area that's uncluttered, and my type, you know, the type things there. But for those who are interested, I'm assuming you're going to ask me what it is.
Well, I assume that your email is probably on your website, right?
Oh, yes.
But go ahead and give it.
All right. My website is, you know, the HTTP
right.
thing, and then it's all small, all together, www.redelk, again, all small together, www.redelk.org.
That's really easy. That's R-E-D-E-L-K.org, redelk.org.
Yes, people make a mistake and type in com.
For I know. Well, everything's com, you know, so I'm glad you're an org.
Next time, if there ever is, sir, at your command, if there is a next time, I would like to literally take about 10 minutes and people come on board with a pen and pencil, or a pencil and paper, and I will tell how to practice on-demand mental telepathy, we will break AT&T, and our government will not be able to trace masses of people's thoughts, and they won't be listening in. They just can't do it. They haven't got the manpower. And it's a matter of practice.
All right.
I would love to give that to the people.
All right. Let's plan that for next time. Now, with reference to levitation, that is a particular interest of mine, Red Elk. You say you've taught a mother and daughter to levitate, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. What do you think the chance is that this mother and or daughter would be willing to talk to me?
Well, I could ask them.
Would you please?
The chance, sir, is totally up to them.
Would you please?
I would do so.
Okay, ask them. You know how to get in contact with me.
I'm not sure. I wrote your phone number down, and hey, this trailer eats things, man. I don't know where it's at. We're going to talk after. I'm going to give you that method, so your back's going to be good, bro.
Okay. All right, here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hello.
Hi, Art. Love you and love your show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to Red Elk. Anybody who believes in the creator of love is cool with me. I was very much in agreement with Mr. Elk's message that we are presently in a very negative reality. I mean, we can figure this out just looking around us. And that this can be transformed into a positive reality of peace and love through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Art, you have a lot of guests on that have talked about parallel universes.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, if you hook into that idea, then you can understand that maybe, possibly, we can go in and out of the different realities. And I do believe that one way is through prayer. I know, Art, that you know you're really reluctant and that you've done some of these mass prayer things where you've had some really weird experiences. Excuse me, and
I'm not sure I'd call them mass prayer. I would call them mass concentrations.
Okay.
But there was certainly prayer involved by many.
Well, a lot of people do refer to prayers. It's basically when you're putting your attention on something,
mm-hmm.
and most people, when you're doing prayers, you're asking for something.
No question.
However, what you have to be careful, you're right when you said, you know, you have to be careful what you're asked for. You might just well get it.
Yes.
But that's where you can always add the little addendum and say, in God's will, you know, if this is God's will. Because even Jesus Christ, when he was, you know, told he was to die on the cross for our sins, said, you know, if this is your will, take this cup from me.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I will do your will. So we can always ask for a prayer, but we can always certainly respect and be humble enough to understand that it's always going to be God's will.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
I think he does, you know, a lot of this reality is created by us. And you have talked about that too, Art, how, you know, even Sean David Morton was talking to how our perceptions of reality come to be. And a lot of that karma of a country, karma of thought, karma of peoples in the past.
That we make it all happen.
Yeah, and so, you know, when you were even talking to Art and saying things like, you know, I can't picture this, I can't picture this, so much of it is imagining. You have to imagine what's wonderful and what's good and what you understand to be good. And I'm not talking about just on a personal, selfish level, although it really ultimately is personal and selfish, because I think ultimately we in our hearts and in our souls, we all want peace, we all want love, we all want those good things. It's just when the politics and the individual greed gets in the way that it becomes distorted.
That's right.
So I don't know if Mr. L could talk about if he has anything like a kind of a group prayer meeting. I don't know if he does anything on the internet or...
honey, boy, would I love to see it, but there is a problem.
Hmm.
When people have a group unity, let's not call it prayer, group unity, where two or more gather together, you know what they mean, in heart.
Mm-hmm.
If it's done on a regular basis, it becomes rote and therefore useless.
Mm-hmm.
It should be done, and it needs to be done. We need to close these ozone holes, and it can be done by mind caring mm-hmm. about our environment, about our very lives.
Mm-hmm.
And many works can be done. It's more than just envisioning Mr. Limbaugh getting better in his hearing, and what a miracle that was. And or Mr. Bell with his back. things like that. It's we can do far greater. We can help heal our own planet, and we, my sister, can also change our greatest probable, even though it doesn't look like it's possible. Look at what one man did for the whole planet.
Oh yes.
And gee whiz.
It always starts with one soul, doesn't it? There could be great power. It always starts with one person.
Yes, and it needs total love, commitment, a great desire, a humbleness of heart, and a great want, a hunger. Those people that have that and can unite can do miracles beyond miracles, because that's the way the Creator has made us and wants us to be. For Mr. Bell and your information, I would like to talk about a very sacred thing, probably one of the greatest secrets that medicine people know. The fact is, we are a dream, the Creator's dream. We live because He does not sleep. Now, everybody knows, or most know, about lucid dreaming, where you're being chased by something, but you're in a half-sleep state, and you can turn around and say, why are you chasing me? You know, and then find out what it's all about. What you don't know is that we are living a lucid dream, not just dreaming occasionally at night. This whole thing is a dream.
Row, row, row your boat.
That's like that's kind of like the Matrix, the movie, the Matrix.
Yeah, I hear about that movie, and someday I'll rent that thing.
You probably should rent it and watch it. It's that concept.
Well, sir, we can work the dream. That's where we in medicine, men and women, good and bad, sorcery or not, we work the dream. We can make things happen because we can work the dream. We know this life that you call reality is lucid dream.
Okay. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Red Elk. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you, Art, for taking my call.
Very
this
welcome.
Is Levi. I'm on my way to Oklahoma City. Hello, Mr. Red Elk.
Hello, my friend.
I've come across a theory that I put together as I went down the highway, compiling a bunch of information that I've gathered up. One, that we're all made out of the same stuff. The same stuff that's in the table in front of you is the same stuff that's in you. And
yes,
when you
it's
get to,
called mind stuff, God's mind stuff, His
yeah,
dream.
When you get to the quantum physics level, the foam or the electron cloud around the nucleus, it's all made out of the same stuff. It all depends on how many electron stuff it has going around it. And it dawned on me that what if it is made out of sound? God spoke the universe into existence.
That, boy, have you hit the nail on the head. There's no Big Bang. He was sitting up there twirling the sums, nothing going on. I don't know for how many ages. And the very existence of all creation is in the first verse of the first book of the first of the Bible.
Yeah.
And he thought, and then he imagined, and then he created us from imagine into strong envisioning until he got it right. Instead of making the woman's boobs on the back, which would have made them fun to dance with, they're not worth looking at. He put them on the front. He took his time. He got it right. And then he said, he audibly spoke, sir, there's no Big Bang. It is just vibration.
Mr. Red Elk, the other place I found that in the text was where, I don't know, Jesus and the disciples going off to this town. They said, make these people be quiet lest we get thrown in jail or get in trouble.
Yeah, and the rock should shout.
And he said, if I'd make these people be quiet, Father would make these stones rejoice. Well, that suggests that there's sound on the inside of those stones.
And intelligence.
Yeah, and intelligence. And you were speaking about, y'all were talking about talking to rocks earlier. And having the rocks talk back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of us talk to, you know, whenever you, like Art was mad at his car, or you, part of the, half of the communication, you talk to something, but the other half is listening to what it has to say. Now,
Lord, can I inject here? Sir, when your wife and you head off for the trip, she thinks, oh my gosh, Did I leave food for the dog? Did I water the plants? And, well, let's go back, you know. And you run back, and lo and behold, the dog's got no food.
Yep.
The plants need watering. And they say, thank God, I remembered that. No, sir. They were called by the plants and by the dog saying, you've forgotten us.
Right, right. There was a something the last caller touched on in imagination, and you touched on it earlier in the conversation. And there's the imagination is a very there's a very powerful law tucked away in it's right at the Tower of Babel over there. God said, now nothing that they have imagined will be restrained from them.
And it says, ye are as little g gods. We cannot be God, but we can be godly. We cannot be Satan, but we can be satanic. We cannot be Christ, but we can be Christ-like. And if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Yeah.
We in medicine do this. We have learned to work the dream.
I would really like to learn from you. I want to look around on the website when I get time to find out how to get in touch.
Hey, I'm raising all kinds of... I'm getting as controversial as Mr. Bell.
Yeah, this man is really something, any caller.
Yeah, he is really good. There's a lot of truth in what he has to say.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you.
Very careful, friend.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hello.
Marcus from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be on tonight. The more I listen to you, I have to thank you, sir, Mr. Elk, for speaking the word to us tonight, and I love you for that, the scriptures. And I'd like to ask you a question concerning the Christ, the Lord. I've chosen not to use the name Jesus because I've done some research, and it just seems like to me it's wrong. It really, really wasn't his earthly name, and I wonder if you, and I've noticed you haven't used that name either. I was wondering.
Sure, it doesn't matter. Jesus,
doesn't matter.
Jesus, the Christ, whatever you want to call him, that man was the walking example of what love can do.
Well, who can argue with that?
Call him love.
As a Christian. And I think that's pretty awesome, and you're an exciting man. And also, I'd like to touch on, I see in the world today how things are seem to be backwards. They call good evil and evil good.
Oh, yeah.
And the anxiety for me is very high. And you seem to have much more peace than I do, that's for sure. Can you give me any...
hint how to get there?
Yeah. A little hints or some help or information for me, please.
See nothing as accidents. There are no accidents. It's all planned. See nothing as bad. Even your baby getting raped and ripped, and that's bad. But in the long run, it brings people. It gets rid of the chaff in the wheat, and it brings some of that real weak wheat. Upstanding tall. In the long run, there's a reason for everything.
Yep, that's a very hard concept for a lot of people.
And it would be for me too, but I live by it. I've learned by it.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, my friend.
All right, take care. Yes, I believe every word you're saying. I believe that you absolutely believe every word you're saying, and I think a lot of what you're saying has an absolute ring of truth to those who have stuck around and listened. It's really interesting. West of the Rockies, not a lot of time. You're on the air with Red Elk. Hello.
Yeah, I'm Walter from Mount Rainier.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say the mirror, I'd like to ask him about the mirror. I've been using it for about 10 years, and I can prove the existence of God with it, real short and sweet.
With a mirror?
Yeah, I was studying guitar in the mirror about 10 years ago, and I was looking off to the side of the mirror as I was doing it, and I started seeing really weird... evil type things coming in.
Well, I'll tell you, we're headed for one whale of a show on this subject.
But anyway,
the ribbon does twist and turn, creating rips and thinness in the veils that are really all around us.
But I asked God to come in, the Spirit of God to come in, because I couldn't get rid of the evil looking things in the mirror, and everything changed. And believe me, Art, you've been wondering about the mirror.
Yes.
If you sit there and look off to the side and say Satan come in, you're not. It'll shock you. It'll scare you almost to death. Won't know how to get rid of it other than by saying, "Okay, Spirit of God come in," and that's when everything changes. Yeah. And It'll teach you. I mean, you don't even have to do anything. You can meditate there and feel safe, and you'll start learning things that you've never ever learned before. Now
I hear you.
And I've been seeing spaceships from it. I've been learning stuff from God. And one thing about I wanted to say that I've been learning from God was you have the thing on about Fatima on there, the secrets.
Third
well,
secret
this isn't
of Fatima.
This isn't about the secrets. This is about the solar event, and God is very disturbed that the sun bounced up and down. It's on film. It's on motion picture film.
Sir, I'm woefully short on time here.
Yeah, we got only about
okay.
a half a minute.
You want to email me, and I will proceed to follow up on it. There are solar events going on right now. We have this big full halo ejection. It's on actually hitting Earth right now. And we've got a gigantic solar storm going on. Auroras may be seen. Red Elk, boy, what a pleasure to have you on the air again. You're a strange sort, Red Elk, but, you know, there's...
Stick around, and I will give you that thing.
Indeed. I just wanted to tell you, you're strange, but you're absolutely intriguing. I mean, there's something about you. So I'm certain we will have you on again. In the meantime, I'm going to put you on hold and talk to you after the show, okay?
Yes, love to all and all love, please.
Good night, Red Elk.
Good night, my friend.
Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. And I know that some of you, a good portion actually, heard and understood what you heard. Others rejected it entirely, but that's the way the world goes. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Good night.